I'll carry you, you'll carry me, we'll help each other through it. Come on and see, good movement draws good movement.
Welcome to Good Movement Draws Good Movement, the podcast where farmers, ranchers, and rural folks can grow relationally through awareness, understanding, and effective communication. Hey, it's T. I'm your host, and I, along with my guests, will be covering topics related to drawing good movement. Things like self and social awareness, brain science, positive psychology, extending grace, and so much more. We'll share tools that can help you understand why you are the way you are, why others are the way they are, and how you can use that to step out of self-told lies with grace and compassion to draw good movement in conversations, relationships, and life in rural America. Let's go draw good movement. Welcome back to the Good Movement Draws Good Movement podcast. Today, we have one of my very dearest friends, Michaela Gasling. I'm so excited about our conversation.
Thank you. Me too.
Michaela is a writer, speaker, farm wife, and mom to four kids. After growing up on a farm, she moved to the city to pursue a career as an ultrasound technologist. She found success, but knew something was missing. So she and her husband, Matt, returned to their roots. Now on Matt's grandparents' homestead, together they are raising their beautiful kiddos, cattle, and crops. Michaela is passionate about sharing her experience of how suffering, emergency brain surgery, recovery, and most importantly, hope brought her to a life of unexpected abundance. Running the day and the farm has become second nature as she easily transitions between cowboy boots to her favorite running shoes, but will always kick them off for a good cup of coffee with a friend. It's here in the everyday ordinary that she has become skilled at finding joy and wants to help others see that an abundant, fulfilled life is waiting for you too. So Tom went to college with you and Matt, but we didn't really actually meet until 2009-ish after Tom had run into Matt at Menards and learned that we live super close, like 20 miles from each other, which is super close in Western Nebraska terms. So in the past 14 years-ish, we've seen each other through a lot. But before we get to talking more about some of that, tell us more about you and how you got to where you are today.
Well, like you said, I grew up in central Nebraska on a farm and ranch and vowed to never move back to a farm and ranch. So I went to ultrasound school in Omaha. And during that time, I met my future husband and got married, moved to Western Nebraska, where he's from, where I got to work in my chosen career for 7 years before we made the decision to move back to his family farm and ranch in the panhandle of Nebraska, where we've been for the last almost 10 years now. And I did work a little more for a few more years doing ultrasounds part-time. And then I decided after our third baby to stay home full-time. And then we had another baby. And just recently, I actually started going back to work just a day a week doing ultrasounds, but still mostly here on the farm, like you said, with our cattle and crops and kids. So,
oh, I love your story. And before we go any further into your story, which we will, I ask all my guests the same question because of a hilarious interpretation of good movement. But what first came to mind when you heard the phrase good movement before learning about it from yours truly?
I think you know me so well that you will probably be able to guess what I'm going to say.
I think so too.
But it makes me think literally of movement because I love all types of forms of exercise, whether it's walking, running, hiking, swimming, adventuring with my kids, lifting weights, all the things. And so when I think of good movement, drawing good movement, I think about how, for example, when I go on a run, I always tell myself, you can't quit in the first mile or in the first 10 minutes because it always feels really hard at first. Like you can't catch your breath and like your legs are heavy. But if you push through that first little part, then it just is easier and comes more naturally. So basically, once you start moving, then it's just a lot easier to keep moving and it feels better and it all just is kind of a cycle. And so that's literally what I thought of at first, is just whether it's a habit or literal movement, if you just start that good movement, then more good movement will follow.
Good movement draws good movement.
Yes.
Okay. So the fact that you had emergent brain surgery was just casually snuck into your bio. Like we just glossed over that. But let's talk more about that. I think I want to start like way back before we even knew that you had anything wrong with your brain. Or I shouldn't say wrong with your brain, but an invader in your brain. Like the story that comes to mind is when we were at Newberry's, which I'm sad isn't open anymore.
That's a great place to start the story. Yeah, that was the first, kind of looking back, the first little glimpse of what God was preparing me for what he had prepared for me. Just in our, to fill you in, Taryn and I, like she said, we have been through a lot in the last 14 years and we know that we can always literally call on the other person. And so in January of 2020, my husband, Matt, and I were getting ready to go on a big vacation to Mexico. And everything was planned. It was literally, I think, the day before or 2 days before we were supposed to leave. And I was just a giant anxiety mess. And had called my husband and told him that they could cancel my plane ticket. I wasn't going to go because our childcare had fallen through and our then 5-year-old had been having nightmares that something happened to our plane and that mom and dad died. And just all of these things that I thought were, quote, signs that I wasn't supposed to go had just convinced me that it was a bad idea. I didn't want to go. I wasn't going. And Taryn said, hold on, meet me at Newberry's. We're going to have coffee and we're going to talk about this. And she basically reminded me that all of those things contributing to my anxiety were from the devil. They were not from God. And that I just kind of made me pump the brakes and realize that, yes, all of those things were just Satan working his sneaky ways. And long story short, we ended up going to Mexico and conceiving our surprise 4th baby. And that kind of started the whole story of 2020 leading up to my brain tumor diagnosis and surgery.
So looking back on that situation, at the time, we didn't know that you were an Enneagram 6.
Correct.
But now we do. And it's like, okay, the enemy was for sure at work, but also so was your inner committee.
Mm-hmm. So was fear, big time.
Yeah. And it was very loud. But I personally am so proud of you that you were able to rein in your fear and go on that trip anyway.
Thanks.
And then, yes, so you went on the trip. And then we were at NCBA's Cattlemen's Convention in San Antonio. And you were there in San Antonio, but you weren't at the convention. I was still at the convention and you sent me the Facebook message because you had just found out you were pregnant with gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a very fun, exciting surprise.
It was.
And I love how you told that. With the onesie, hecho in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout your pregnancy, like it was not your easiest pregnancy by a long shot.
Not at all.
So talk to us about the pregnancy and the difficulties you had like right from the beginning?
Well, it was just kind of one thing after another. By March, I had a terrible stomach bug, got over that. And then early April, remember that March is when we were declared in a global pandemic. And so then right after that, in April, I came down with what we now know was probably COVID and was incredibly sick for about 10 days, followed by getting pneumonia, followed by 2 or 3 months more of not being able to breathe. And then by about summer, when I was finally feeling a little bit back to myself, then I started having headaches that just progressed, getting worse and worse. And in August, I realized that I had lost the hearing in my left ear. And by September, I was having major issues with my balance, along with no hearing in my left ear and headaches that were getting worse. And we all just kind of chalked things up to pregnancy and being older and all the things. And I promised my OB doctors that if the headaches were not in fact caused by pregnancy, like if they went away after the baby was born, good. But if not, I would get them checked out. And then we didn't make it very far, very long. 4 days after our baby girl was born in October, my headaches were the worst they'd ever been, ever, ever. Like, couldn't get out of bed, in the worst pain of my entire life, including natural childbirth. Just horrible. So Matt took me to the emergency room, and an MRI showed that I had a large brain tumor, and it was causing moderate hydrocephalus, or the fluid to build up in my brain. And I needed emergency brain surgery that needed to be performed in Denver, which is about 4 hours from where we were in the emergency room. So I got taken to Denver immediately and had brain surgery a couple of days later after they thankfully got the swelling to go down enough that it was safe for me to have surgery. And then by the grace of God, I got to walk out of the hospital 3 days after that and go back home. So that's the short story.
So just so everyone heard that, she had a baby on a Tuesday, delivered a baby on a Tuesday, delivered a brain tumor the following Tuesday.
Correct.
And we know that you're a type 6 and that anxiety is something that you experience, and fear is something that can rear its ugly head. And yet, when you were in the hospital leading up to your surgery, and even after your surgery, you were what I'm going to describe as cool as a cucumber. Like, everyone else was freaking out, and Michaela is calm, like not what you would expect from Michaela.
Yeah, I would say freakishly calm.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about that. And I mean, like, we've heard the story from Newberry's till delivering the brain tumor, but I've heard you talk about, and I think in your speech or in your presentation, you talk about it too, how now looking back, you can see how all of those really hard things led up to delivering the brain tumor and the calm and peace that you felt. So in your own words, tell us more about that.
Well, first of all, I think it was partly just a gift from God that he gave me that peace that is only from God, in a time when I most definitely needed it most, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It definitely made no sense for me to be so calm when I had up until that point in my 36 years, I'd never had surgery, never been under anesthesia, never been intubated, never even been in the hospital other than delivering my four babies. And so by all means, I should have been freaking out, and I wasn't. I just knew that God had it and it was going to be fine. And no matter the outcome, it was going to be fine. But like you said, I think that all of the things that we had gone through in all of 2020 and even the previous years before that just had prepared me so well, not only strengthened my faith, but just shown me that God is bigger than my fears and he's by my side and I can trust him. Even when I don't know the plan, I just can trust that he's got it and it's going to be fine.
Looking back on your experience, it reminds me of James 1 verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Well, I guess verse 2 and 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so just like trial after trial after trial led to the perseverance. And honestly, you had to lean on God and your faith through all of that. And then when it came to like this really big, massive trial, you had that perseverance.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to take kind of a left turn. But I wanted to make sure that we told that story, or that you told that story rather, because it's so incredibly impactful and inspiring. And I want as many people who can hear it to hear it. But turning left, actually, that was right, what I just did with my hands. Turning left, you, as we've established, are a 6 on the Enneagram. How has knowing that helped you live more abundantly, just in general, and also in your relationships?
Because knowing what motivates me, which for a type 6 is fear, right?
It's security and support, but you want the security and support because of fear.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I knew you could put that better. Knowing that, it's easier to tell myself that we're going to do things despite the fear. Like, I'm not going to let that dictate my life. Yeah, it's nice to always choose the safe option, but what kind of life is that going to lead to if you're just always making decisions out of, well, this is the safe choice, or even not doing something because of your fear and then missing out on so much of what life has to offer because you're afraid of that this might happen or this might happen or this might happen, which is a classic 6 thing, like imagining all the worst case scenarios when those don't usually manifest. So just to shove my fear aside and choose how I want to live, which it's not always easy. It's not easy at all. And it takes work and it takes practice. And sometimes I fail, but it's just, yeah.
It's not, this inner work is not like a one and done deal. You exactly. have to constantly work at it, or you'll fall back into your habits of, air quote, protecting yourself. Mm-hmm. So you and Matt recently participated in one of my virtual workshops where it was an intro to the Enneagram workshop, and you already knew your type, but Matt didn't know his until that day. And by the way, Matt is Michaela's husband, which I think we mentioned earlier, but I can't remember. So I'm saying it again. Has being sure of his type changed the way you understand and communicate with him, and vice versa? Like, do you feel, since he's gone through it now, he understands a little bit better how to communicate with you too?
I think him and I still have a lot more work to do. Like you said, it's always continuing work, but I think we have work to do in communicating like our desires and our motivations and our you know, things, but it has definitely helped me in my communication with him because it has helped me to know what he needs. And so as a type one, he has where I have a committee of people chiming in, telling me, you know, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. He has just one inner critic that is really hard on him, which I've always known, like even before I knew about the Enneagram or that he was a type one, for sure. I've always known that he's very hard on himself. But just knowing that, like, he doesn't need any additional outside forces doing that has helped remind me sometimes to zip it, because he needs praise and he needs reassurance that what he's doing matters, or that I'm thankful for him, all the things. Like you saw this weekend, like I said, sometimes I'm not perfect and I forget, like when I made the joke about laughing at him when he tries to learn how to ski and he did not take that well. Like, I just have to remind myself that, like, my joking can be taken very seriously by him, and that I just need to zip my lip. And yeah, it's definitely helped me to understand too why he does the things that he does. And that's always helpful for me. Like, I think sometimes when we get annoyed with somebody or something, it's because we don't understand why they feel the need to do things the way they do them or something. And so just knowing that what drives him and why he's doing things the way he does has helped me to be understanding and give him grace. And if that makes sense.
Totally. And also being married to a type one, I feel you on the joking.
Yeah.
I have to be very, very intentional with what I joke about, because the critic is so, like, the critic will take that joke and run with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if I think it's harmless and just comical, the critic will take it and run with it.
Yep.
So same for me. Like, I've, knowing that Tom is a one, have been able to be more gracious with him, and also recognize that jokes are not always funny.
Yeah.
And like you were talking about, knowing when to zip your lip. Sometimes, yes, it doesn't need to be said because they already know, because the critic is already on to them about it. But also knowing that sometimes I can't just gloss over it, but what I can do instead is approach it with grace and compassion and be direct, but also softer with my directness in whatever it is that I need to come to him with.
Yeah.
That's been helpful for me.
Yeah.
And our ones, which Tom was very excited to know that Matt was a one, because he doesn't know any other men who are ones.
Yeah. So I'm glad they have each other.
So they bonded this weekend over their oneness. And also, we're recording this the week after our Dreeling Gasling ski trip, which we were going to record when we were together, but we forgot. Michaela's 9-year-old reminded her that we forgot. So, you know, that's where our mom brains are at.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked a lot here about how Michaela got here, your journey of 2020.
Yes.
Your Enneagram type and how it's helped you in life and your relationship and helped you draw good movement and all the things. But you mentioned that you recently went back to work after a hiatus from ultrasound. And we've had a few conversations about it, about how, like, and I can just see you when you talk about going back to work, your face just lights up. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that, or I want to get a little bit more of your perspective on going back to work and how it's different this time and how you knew that it was time to step back into that role. So go.
Well, our kids are now 12, 9, 6, and 3. And until about a month ago when I went back to work, the last time I had done an ultrasound was in 2018. Anyone in healthcare or any career really knows, especially in this day and age, how quickly technology changes and things change. And I just, since about last summer, started really feeling the pull of, I want to go back to work. I've kept up on my continuing education all these years with the intention of going back to work someday, but I really thought it would be maybe when all my kids were much older or something. I didn't really have a timeline, but I just really started feeling the pull to go back to work a little bit, just mainly because, 7 years is a long time to not do an ultrasound, and I was afraid that I wouldn't remember how at all. And I didn't want it to be even longer and have to completely relearn that skill because it was so hard to learn. But childcare, timing, things just weren't really lining up until this December. I had been watching the hospital where I first went to work right out of college had posted a PRN position, which means just casual. You work whenever you can. You have no set schedule. It's basically like helping out. They posted that and I decided to apply. And if it seemed like a good fit, I told myself I would go for it. And if not, then no big deal. And got an interview right away. Seemed like a really great fit. So I started work again. And it has been really incredible to work 1 or 2 days a week and have adult conversation and use my brain in a whole other way than being a mom does. And it's just been really great. But I think to answer your question better, the thing that really, I guess, pushed me to finally go for it was that I have been working with a life coach, Kayla Josefiak. Shameless plug for her. She's amazing. But something that she said, I think maybe even before she became my life coach, was that it's okay if being a mom, if that alone doesn't fulfill you. It's okay to admit that. And it really just hit home for me because I mean, something that I say all the time dealing with lots of things is that more than one thing can be true at a time. And I just really felt deeply that I've been so privileged to be able to stay home full time with my kids for the last 7 years. I don't take that for granted. I will never regret it. And also at the same time, I felt like there was something more that I needed to be doing or something else that I needed to be doing. And yeah, just leaving the house one day a week, it was a big adjustment, especially for my youngest two who have never had me leave the house for the day to go to work. But now I don't know. It has brought me so much more joy than it did 10 years ago. And obviously things like different shifts and not having to take call and different administrators and things at the hospital. But I don't know, like I said, just also being able to remember that I do have these other skills and I get to interact with patients all day and hopefully serve them and touch them and care for them. I don't know. It's just been really, really fulfilling and good for my soul.
One thing that's stood out to me in our conversations about you going back to work, aside from just being excited to use your skills and have adult conversations, is the environment at work. Like you said, you're working at the same place, but it feels completely different. And that is one thing that I'm really big on, is the environment that you build in your team or your place of work is so much more than what you pay people.
1000%. In all of radiology, there are a few of the same familiar faces that I worked with 10 years ago when I left, and they're great. And also, specifically, my ultrasound department is completely all new faces, and especially my supervisor. I give her a lot of credit for being open about her faith and Christianity. She is so just positive and bubbly and has been patient and accepting and fun, and just it completely changes the whole environment and the attitude of our department and makes it somewhere that I want to go to work instead of, you know, oh, I have to go to work today. So yeah, environment matters. And I hope to contribute to that too when I'm there.
When I say I'm big on that, when I go and meet with ranches and we do the team building exercise, I tell them, I'm like, it doesn't matter what you pay people if they don't feel appreciated. Mm-hmm. And like when you talk about going back to work in the environment, I'm like, oh man, that like it sounds like the environment that I'm trying to convey to people. I need to get you guys to come to my sessions and show people like this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I like after maybe my first week, I said, if it had been like this 10 years ago, I would have never quit. Like this is what it needs to be. And granted, like lots of things have changed. And, you know, I was pregnant with my second baby. And I mean, I probably still would have needed some sort of change regardless. But yeah, it's so different and so wonderful.
And I'm so happy for you. Okay. I have really enjoyed our conversation as always. But now I would like you to tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah. So I can be found on Instagram at Michaela.Gasly. I always answer my messages there. I also have a website, cowgirlbootsandrunningshoes.com. I have not used it in a couple of years because of life, but there are some recipes and stories and things there. And then you also could put my email in the show notes if you want to, because I realize that not everyone has Instagram. And then lastly, we talked briefly about it, but after speaking at the Cultivating Courage event in Kansas in February to a group of 300 women about friendship and joy and living abundantly every day, I decided to open up my 2024 schedule. So if you have a speaking event, whether it's a group of women, a women's retreat, a faith retreat, youth group, church, etc., send me a message or send me an email, and I would love to chat about coming to speak. And I think that about sums it up. So yeah, I would love to connect with anyone via any of those channels.
And we'll have all of that linked in the show notes. With that, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm so grateful for you. If you found value in this episode, I'd love for you to share with others who might also benefit from tuning in. Share by word of mouth, send it in a text, take a screenshot and post it on social media, or share however you prefer. And if you haven't already, hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, draw good movement.